The water stood still. The priest stood firm. And the people crossed to claim the land of your promise. Father, lead us step by step so we too can cross. Lead us step by step as we walk in the way of your will, until all have crossed and we have claimed the promised plan. And let it begin as we listen to your word, as we worship you this day, as we, all your people, receive what you have for us, either through my words or in spite of them or between the words. But let us receive your will for us this day. It's in the name of your Son. It's through the power of your Holy Spirit I pray. Amen. You know, this may sound crazy coming from the pulpit, but have you ever felt overwhelmed when you think of all the stuff that people tell you you have to do right now and do it their way if you're going to be a good Christian? I have. Everywhere we look, people are always telling us what to do, how to do it, what to believe, what not to believe. I mean, if we really want to be a good Christian, then we just have to do what they say. And so much of what they say, contradictory, and it's all overwhelming. My goodness, in the midst of it all, we've still come to worship God this morning, perhaps because we want to grow in our faith as Christians, and praise God for that. Others may have come because we're curious about this faith in a man who proclaimed to be God. Maybe this particular faith system will work for us. We might as well try it, right? Why is that? Because even the most self-confident among us is looking for direction. But these days, Christianity seems to be being co-opted by so many different voices as they try to manipulate us into their way of thinking. Consider, if we're going to be good Christians, who should we vote for? What should we believe about abortion, homosexuality, immigration, the poor, the rich, about euthanasia, so many things? Are all good Christians liberal, or are they conservative? It's overwhelming. Typically, we are told that being a good Christian means sharing the ideas of the one who is speaking. And we start thinking, non-believers sure seem to have an easier time of it, don't they? So why bother with this thing called Christianity? We've allowed the secular to overwhelm the sacred. We have given human opinion precedence over divine wisdom. We have questions in need of answers, but with so much controversy coming at us from all sides, even when we think someone's answers make perfect sense, how can we be sure? And eventually, without fail, something happens in our lives that overwhelms the answers that we have relied on, and we panic. Now what? Do we walk, if not run, away from what we have called our faith as fast as we can? Do we just go and find other people to listen to who will validate our preconceived points of view? What are we to do? What if we just stopped? Just stopped the flood of rhetoric that's assaulting our ears stopped jumping from one self-proclaimed Christian guru or worship fad to another with all its stitched together belief systems? What if we just stopped? Like the freeze frame in a movie, just stopped. So that we might begin our journey of faith again. This time, following the right person, Jesus the Christ. Our faith in Christ should be so simple. Yet we have made it so very hard. In the reading from Joshua this morning, we read about a people overwhelmed. Moses had just died. And God had selected Joshua to lead this now mighty nation. And with the selection, God gave Joshua a huge task right out of the gate. Lead that entire nation of Israelites across the Jordan and take that formidable city of Jericho. How? So simple, it was hard to believe. Just step into the river, claim the land. Well, if that isn't an overwhelming thought, I don't know what is. But you know, instead of being paralyzed by fear and endless human strategizing, they just stopped and listened for God's will. The priest would carry the Ark of the Covenant, God's chest, across the river in front of the people. This ark, this chest, carried powerful symbols of God's authority and God's actions among the nation. The two tablets of the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod, which had established the line of priestly authority, and a jar of manna from the days of God's miraculous feeding of his people. All reminders of God's work among God's people in the past. The ark was heavy. Would it burden the priests down so greatly that they died? No. Because God would part the waters as the priests stepped forward in trust. One step at a time. Sounds a lot like what God did when Moses parted the Red Sea, doesn't it? But this time, the people were not fleeing in fearful weakness. They were stepping into God's next piece of his plan. God was in control. And step by step, they moved forward, remembering his decrees and powerful acts through the visible symbol of the ark that went before them. Step by step, they walked between the walls of water that had been pushed back at God's command in the midst of a present-day miracle. And as they remembered the past and witnessed the present acts of God, they trusted in him to lead them into the future. And it all began one step at a time as their faith grew. Jesus said as much to his disciples in the upper room the night of his betrayal and arrest. He had led the disciples for 3 years, and he was preparing to undertake an overwhelming action on their behalf as he stepped into the darkness of death for the salvation of the world. The heaviness of the burden was overwhelming. But Christ said, "Be at peace. Trust me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty overwhelming statement to me. And apparently it was overwhelming to the disciples as well, given John's question and Philip's statement. The men were faced with the magnitude of the truth that Christ is indeed God, and they were to follow him, period. period, even though others would tell them they should know better than to believe that such a thing was possible. They were paralyzed by questions as they tried to make this simple yet profound truth of Jesus into something humanly plausible. And Jesus basically told them to stop, just stop, and begin again in faith, one step at a time. The Lord was telling them that if they were willing to grow in their faith, if they were to grow in their faith, they were to embrace the truth that they currently knew and live into that first, one step at a time. If believing that Jesus is God is too hard, then first think about what he had done during their ministry among them, and let his actions speak to his deity. Jesus had healed. Jesus had exorcised demons. He had fed the hungry, walked on water, calmed the storms. Only God had such power. So take a step. And as the truth of that first step becomes part of you, take another step, and then another. And soon you're on your way. The words the Lord spoke that night gave the men permission. They didn't have to have Jesus all figured out at one time. They were given the grace to just stop and reflect on what they knew before moving ahead. One step at a time. Deeper and deeper into the knowledge and love of God through Christ Jesus. How wise our Lord is. He revealed himself to those who longed to follow him, but he didn't overwhelm them. He was patient to walk the way with them, one step at a time. And he does the same for us as we seek the answers to the questions that overwhelm us when it comes to our faith. None of us knows all the answers, but we do have the responsibility to search for the answers, one step at a time. Not by embracing the opinions of others, but by embracing the Word of God. When questions arise about things like morality and politics and finances and life choices, they can overwhelm us. But I have learned to be careful about where I look for the answers and about whom I choose to follow. Over the past several years, as the questions continue to flood downstream, I've heard many times, "The church needs to keep up with the times, or it will die." Nothing could be further from the truth. The church needs to keep up with God, or it will die. Who do we follow? The God who goes before us, or the loudest voice at the podium? We must discern that answer before we can take even the first step on a deep and lasting faith journey. So what if we just stopped? Stopped allowing the world to overwhelm us. Stopped trying to unravel all the mysteries of God in one fell swoop so that we can be the smartest little theologian in the room. What if we just stopped and considered our faith? Why do we follow God? And should we even follow him? Such questions scare us because we will then realize how little we each know on our own. And if we don't know God,
even a little bit, why on earth follow him? Are we willing to begin again? To take one step in the direction of the cross, that symbol of God's power and authority, even over death, and consider what that symbol means to our lives? Are we willing to stop and to stay long as it takes to reflect on what the power of the cross means for us and allow it to become a part of who we are, overwhelming as the truth might be for our lives? Jesus is God. We can begin again. And in the power of that truth, we can take another step toward the empty tomb of the risen Christ as God parts the waters of death and we move into new life. It's so easy, yet we make it so hard because we base our opinion, our faith on the opinions of others rather than on the truth of God's word. We must claim our faith for ourselves, a faith based on the Word, as we study and as we pray together. But even then, be careful. Be careful of who you choose to follow into those deep waters of study. Be careful to test all that you hear from the mouths of others against the truth that is Christ. Be wary that Scripture won't be cherry-picked completely out of context to support a particular agenda. Be careful that you follow the way and the truth and the life of the one who goes before us. Settle for nothing less than God's truth. In the company of others, seeking and claiming faith together, one step at a time. You know, John Wesley taught that Scripture is primary. It becomes the Ark of the Covenant that we follow as we move one step at a time toward the distant shore and live into God's plan for our lives as we go. When I used to be confronted with hard social justice questions on every side, my natural tendency was to answer them all at once, to solve the world's problems in my own wisdom, my human opinion. But I have learned to step back and say, you know what? I don't know. I need to stop. I need to listen. I need to consider these things one step at a time in the light of God's Word. I don't think about what the world says a good Christian should do. It's more than enough to just wrestle with what God says to do. I must consider what God has already done to prove his authority over creation and then pray for the strength to follow wherever he leads, even into the deep waters of unpopularity in the world that so often threaten to drown. But I know that the Lord will part the waters in his great and empowering love. He will reveal the way forward and get us to the other side, the side where we are called to love God, love each other, even our enemies. That is what will see us through. And if you don't believe the words, then believe the work. Christ is risen. Everything he says is true. And once we believe that, everything becomes so easy as we step one at a time, step by step, in the journey of faith, and claim the future that God has prepared for us to walk in. And to God be the glory.